Dr. Seuss fans are in for a treat with the publication this week of Dr. Seuss's Horse Museum. It's a new book based on a manuscript and sketches created by Theodore Seuss Geisel and discovered in the author's home 21 years after his death. The latest Seuss treasure, illustrated by acclaimed illustrator Andrew Joyner, is a unique and playful celebration of art and how we all see the world in different ways. Readers of all ages join a lovable horse as he takes a group of students on a guided tour of the Horse Museum. It is an exploration of all types of art and the way artists depict horses. Andrew Joyner is the illustrator and author of numerous children's books, including The Pink Hat and the Boris chapter book series about a winsome and adventurous warthog. It is a great pleasure to welcome Andrew Joyner to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
Hi, Joe. Thank you. Yeah, I'm great. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
It's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Everyone loves Dr. Seuss, but we have the Dr. Seuss Museum, the Amazing World of Dr. Seuss Museum in Springfield, Massachusetts. They're going to be having a book release party on Saturday. So this is very much, we're all very excited about this new treasure that has been found. So at what point were you brought into the equation?
I was brought in probably about a year ago. I first learned about the book and that they wanted me to have a go at illustrating it. So that was when I first learned of the existence of the book and that I've been chosen to illustrate it. So it was a pretty big occasion for me, but I obviously had to keep it a secret for quite a while.
Well, sure. Now, what is the context they give you in the sense of we found this, and what did they know about the manuscript, and what information did you need to be able to do the beautiful work that you were able to do?
Well, they showed me right from the start the full manuscript that Ted Geisel, Dr. Seuss, had come up with. And so he'd written quite a bit of the text, and he'd drawn some very rough drawings, some of them a bit more developed than others, but they were all rough drawings. And so I saw the original manuscript as he'd left it. But the text had a really good structure, as did the roughs. You could see the structure of the book through those roughs. And the manuscript. And so then the editors worked on, I guess, putting it into a format where I could easily start working on the illustrations. So I didn't try to exactly, you know, copy one of his roughs or just turn one of his roughs into a final art. There were a few, one or two pages which are close to some of his roughs, but the rest of it was more, he wanted to tackle, say, impressionism on one page or something like that.
Now, there is the art element, but as far as the Seussian element, I find it interesting because being familiar with your previous work, there is a Seussian nature to that. It doesn't seem like you transformed your style much, that it was kind of a natural match.
Yeah, and I mean, right from the start, Kathy Goldsmith, who I worked with on the book, said to me, and she'd worked with Ted Geisel during his life, she said to me, we don't want you to imitate Dr. Seuss, we want you for you. And so that gave me a lot of confidence to pursue my own style, I guess. And I think you're right. It was only working on this book that I really began to realize how much influence Dr. Seuss has had on my all my drawings, really. It was funny. I really loved that I could see the impact he'd had just from reading his books and loving his books as a child had sort of carried through. Like, I'm 50 now, so through all these years later,
right,
it was still, that influence was still there. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to recognize those things in your own work until you sort of see it alongside, you know, the artworks by others like Dr. Seuss.
Well, and some of it is just ingrained, right? I mean, some of it you probably don't even realize. You just say, oh, well, that's because I grew up with this. It's been around my entire life.
Yeah. And I mean, I was saying to someone else the other day that it's like, I just sort of, Dr. Seuss I kind of took for granted because it was just always there, always part of the cultural landscape. I mean, I grew up in Australia and I still live in Australia, and Dr. Seuss is huge there and certainly huge here. And it's just always been part of our lives, I guess. Especially for my generation and generations afterwards.
So I know if I were put in the position that you were put in, which is, oh, we have this idea And we would like you to illustrate a Dr. Seuss book. I think, oh, God, well, thank you. That's lovely. I hope I don't screw this up. Was that ever...
Yeah, you know, that definitely is a thought. I think that with every book, though. But I did really, once I took it on, I tried to look at it just as illustrating a book, essentially, like every picture book I do, and tried to put it out of my mind that it was a Dr. Seuss book. I think it was great. I mean, obviously, it was a big project, so it was going to be a secret, but it was great to work on it in private. Without, because if everyone knew, I'd feel the gravity of the task. And you don't really want to do that when you're illustrating. You want to have that freedom to experiment. You don't want to feel like you're hemmed in by too many requirements and things like that.
So, what is the when we talked earlier about context that you were given? So, do we know what he was working on? Why he was working on this project? Of what assignment he was trying to do here?
Well, I think I was talking to Kathy Goldsmith, the publisher and editor, on it recently, and I think he was just about to start on the beginner books, probably just afterwards, like The Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and Ham and things like that. So once he did those, they really took off. So I guess it's like every creative person, there's always ideas that you sort of would like to come back to, but they just, for whatever reason, you don't end up coming back to them. But he must have, the fact that he kept it suggests that he still valued the idea. And I think it's just, you know, even aside from the fact it's Dr. Seuss, it's just such a really clever idea for a book. To illustrate or to represent art by looking at the way different artists have approached horses.
And those paintings are in the book, and so you get to work with those as well, your characters looking and interacting with this famous, amazing art.
Yeah. And I really like that aspect of the working on the book. I do like working with, different media like photos and things like that, and incorporating illustrations with that. So that was a lot of fun to do. It was kind of a challenge because I didn't want the pages to look too like just one picture after another, all square. Because when you look at a Dr. Seuss book, there's rarely a square angle in any of those books. Everything's tilted or curved, and you look at his the way he draws houses and things like that. They've always got sort of a curved roof or a wall at an angle and things like that. So I wanted to try and incorporate that too into the artwork and the way I handled the pictures.
You talk about in the book there are some of the illustrations actually from Dr. Seuss of his rendition of horses, and it's made clear that he looked at them carefully and saw something in them, but he never studied drawing, right?
No, he didn't at all. He said, I was reading that recent biography by Brian J. Jones,
yes,
called Becoming Dr. Seuss, which I think is great. He talked about how, like, if he looked at a horse, or a kangaroo, I think he used the example. Like, if he just imagined a kangaroo and drew it, he's fine. But if he looks at a kangaroo, he can't draw it. He claims he can't draw it. So he's got a different way of drawing, and it just seems... When you look back at all his work, like even his early political cartoons and things like that, it's amazing how fully formed he was as an artist. It's like you can recognize it's Dr. Seuss immediately. He sort of seemed to spring almost out of nowhere. I guess that's what makes him such a really original and unique creative force, I think.
We should mention that this is, and I don't think this is a detraction, but it is not the typical Dr. Seuss rhyme that we would expect.
No. So maybe that's why he had trouble finishing it, but it's still got quite a simple text, but it's, it's written in normal prose. And that's how the roughs were originally, the manuscript was originally written. He'd actually worked on a TV show called Modern Art on Horseback.
Yeah.
And he'd written this TV show, and so that, I think, would have happened just before he worked on this manuscript. And I think Burgess Meredith was in it, and some others, and some Cooper Union art students.
Well, it's
but
a...
Sad, sadly, that was lost, so it was erased, and there's only, I think, a partial script still in existence.
Well, the book is beautiful. It's Dr. Seuss's Horse Museum. It's now out with illustrations by Andrew Joyner. There will be a book release party on Saturday at the Amazing World of Dr. Seuss Museum in Springfield, Massachusetts. You can find out more about that by going to springfieldmuseums.org. Andrew Joyner, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.